First of all, if you like, I don't know, speed a little bit, if you like to go left and right from time to time, getting wet from time to time, and you have to, I don't know, grab something and hold on to something, then it's the right place to be.
What's up, my friends? How are you? I have a special guest for you today. His name is René Baer, and he's a very dear member of the IWC family. He is Human Resources Global Director, and he's a member of the Executive Board. He works since 5 years for IWC. Let's welcome René. We're going to talk about him, about his career. He had a job I really want to talk about, but also about diversity and inclusion. Hello, René. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Great to be here. Thanks for the invitation. And I am very well. We had a very sunny weekend in Zurich. So all good.
You are in the podcast studio. I'm very, right? You are sitting there. And we just had the cameras running. It looks insanely good. Like, I'm very impressed by the setup that's in your office. It is at in Schaffhausen, right?
It's in Schaffhausen and it looks amazing, I have to say. It's a cabin in the middle of an open space, and it really fits into the floor plan. Really good.
Very, very good. It sounds amazing too. That's the main reason you guys build it, I guess. So we can talk about, so once again, what is it you do? What's your job? What would you explain a new person meeting you? What do you do at IWC?
So you just explained my title, which I realize is very long on a business card.
It is.
Actually,
that on the business card? Is it written long?
No, actually, it's Director HR. That simplifies a little bit. But in a nutshell, I care about our people. And to explain it maybe a little bit more in details is I'm responsible for the human resources side of IWC, which makes my job very interesting because I take care about our 1,300 people around the globe. And this in every aspect, when you look at the HR function, when it comes to talent acquisition, over compensation benefits, L&D development, retention, so everything which is around our people.
So you hire, you take care of them. Do you fire too?
It's the mean part of my job. I have to, but I always say if you don't feel sad and sorry about that, and if you don't have a sleepless night before you have to sack someone, then you should change your job. Yes, I have to do. But not so many times. That's good.
So if I'm applying for IWC, what's important? how do I get? What's the path into your heart?
Oh, that's a very tricky question. I guess first of all, you need to understand what the culture here is, and if you allow me to compare it with a speedboat, I guess that would give you a very good understanding how we tick here. First of all, if you like, I don't know, speed a little bit, if you like to go left and right from time to time, getting wet from time to time, and you have to, I don't know, grab something and hold on to something, then it's the right place to be. If you're more into cruise liners, going steady without any changes, then it would not be maybe the right place here. And what I really appreciate is a person with a CV which is not straight. Because if I should tell you a secret, I don't have a straight CV. I don't have a straight line in my career.
There's some. So you did study medicine in Germany, right? Where did you study medicine?
Yes. Where? In Hamburg, actually.
In Hamburg. Okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't finish it?
I did.
You did? Oh, you are a doctor.
Yes, I did. I am a trained physician, yes. Which is good in this pandemic because everybody is asking questions. How is the virus? How is the vaccine going? What is this and what is that? So in that case, it was really in my favor that I practiced a little bit 22 years ago, I think it was.
So it's super hard if you work at IWC and you tell the head of HR that you're ill. It's gonna be, you can really judge, right? So it's a hard
a bit. Thanks God that I don't have to examine. But in the end, yes, it is hard to trick me on that point.
Okay, but I found something else I really want to talk about. So, is it true that you were an aerobic instructor. And I'm like, I really looked it up. It's not aerophysics. It's not being a engineer at Airbus or something. It really was aerobic, like the dancing.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, it is true. It's something which I think is very interesting when I look at my own history, because I needed to earn money. So I didn't get my studies for granted, or I had to pay my rent and everything else. And that was, I was into sports all the time. And at that stage, it was really fun to be in these classes. And then at one stage, somebody approached me and said, listen, do you don't want to teach? And then I said, well, if I can do what I like and get money, that's perfect. So I financed my studies while being an aerobic instructor in Germany. Yes, that's true.
Where?
In the good old days, you know, in Hamburg. Yes. And at that stage, it was in the, say, mid of 90s, when everybody was wearing this yellow and pink socks and really strange outfits.
Do you still have those outfits?
Yes, I do, but I don't wear them anymore.
Come on, Christmas party 2021 IWC. I might attend. If I'm attending, are you going to give one?
Okay, if you are coming, I will put on something.
Is there sport? You probably know that in IWC there's probably a sport offer that for employees, yes. Right? Is there aerobics included in that?
Not yet. My team urges me to do a class with them. I have resisted so far because it would really look a little bit strange. But we do have a lot of sports. So we do appreciate a healthy lifestyle, and we do support, we finance, we support a membership in a gym, or we have also outside things around here, which is running and yoga and let's say all that stuff.
It is important, right? Like because like how many people work in Schaffhausen itself?
In Schaffhausen, around 720, approximately.
Okay. That's a lot. And yeah. It is important that they work out, right? It's going to, and social stuff where they meet each other, right?
Totally. Yes.
And what's the main, like, is cycling happening there too? Because I'm a cyclist. I like cycling a lot.
Yes. And our CEO is a big cyclist. So, we have a couple of people now. Actually, we have an action. We have something which is called Bike to Work, where you can go in your team and have a lot of kilometers on your watch, and then you're doing something for good. It's a charity, and also what we are doing is that the team with the most kilometers get a nice prize. So this is. To emphasize again on health and on the workout part.
Who comes up with stuff like that? Is it people, employees, or is it you, or is it your team, or?
Actually, it's both. Actually, it is. We really appreciate a lot of input from the team, but in the end, it's the HR function. So it's the team. It's my team who's taking care of all of these. Let's say mental health and physical health issues. When it comes to prevention, when it comes to what kind of services do we offer, what kind of benefits do we have here in Schaffhausen, but also globally.
Okay. And how did that change regarding COVID? So that's probably been for the work environment and everything, not only for the Schaffhausen people, for the worldwide people, that changed everything you did work on, right?
Actually, it did. It turned our world upside down, because from one day to another, we had to shift working models. We had to bring everybody to their home. We had to equip them. We had to safeguard people working here, because we still have production, right? They can't be at home. It's not like the good old days of watchmaking 150 years ago, when the watchmaker was at home at their kitchen table, actually assembling a watch. So we had to, on the one hand side, safeguard the people here. We had to put a lot of measures in, but also then on the other side, to ensure that people can work from home. And especially in the beginning of the crisis, everybody was so overwhelmed with homeschooling, having your partner at home. Sometimes it's not really funny to see you 24/7, plus the kids, plus homeschooling. And then you have a boss in a Zoom call asking you stuff to do. So a lot of stress in the beginning. I think we did a good job. We were quite well organized quite quickly, especially when it comes to the communication. So we are doing still, actually, I have to say, since a year, bi-weekly town halls. So people dial in, we explain a lot about the pandemic and what's coming next and so on. So no, but it has changed. You're completely right. It has changed the entire environment.
And is it going back to what it was before at IWC, or is it going to stay changed? What's the, because I have a friend that worked at Google, for example, and it's super interesting to see how they here in LA, how they changed the whole work surrounding. They let people work from home if they want to. They can decide whatever they want to do. So it, I'm seeing new ways of working here, which is of interest for me. But what do you see for IWC? Like what's going to happen in November, let's say, 2021?
So let's assume that the pandemic is more or less over. I think we can't go back because, as I said, the change is imminent, what has happened a year ago. And also seeing that people appreciate a good mixture. We did a survey actually last year. What is your favorite split between working from home and working in the office? And most of them said it's about half of it. 40% I would like to work from home, and the rest I would like to be in the office because I'm missing this human touch point, this, I don't know, small little coffee talks and a little bit of gossip as well. So what I think will change is, and we have done this already last year, that we are changing on the one hand side the way we work. So we are including more and more virtual tools, but also in the end, the split between working from home, working in the office, which also requires, from my point of view, a new office outfit somehow.
Because it's not permanent at the end, like it should be
exactly
changeable, right?
Yes. It needs to be changeable. I think from a work culture perspective, that, and this will be our biggest challenge, I think, not only for us but also for the rest of the companies in the world, is how do we combine this kind of online and offline setting? Because the hybrid office, everybody is talking about this right now, is a huge challenge. How can you integrate people virtually when, I don't know, others are sitting in a room? And how do you make it natural somehow that there is somebody on the screen? This is a huge challenge coming up.
Okay, and how do you replace gossip talk, let's say? Like, because it's important, I do agree. It is important that you, not negative gossip, but positive gossip, that you communicate, that you have social contact. Is there another way of doing that? Are you planning on, like, it's going to be 1 week offsite, only social a year or something? Or how do you handle that being not there right now?
So what we did in the beginning of the pandemic is that we have encouraged managers also to have this kind of virtual coffee sessions, which is difficult because in the classical kitchen discussion, you're speaking one-to-one, or you have maybe a third person there. But if you have a group of people, it's nearly impossible to have this little kind of side talks. So what we have done, we have brought up a couple of instruments and ways how to manage this kind of interaction personally, but also we have put together, for example, we couldn't do any Christmas parties this year or last year. So we put together a big parcel actually with ingredients, with videotape. We did a, let's say, online session with the teams. This will not guarantee that this human interaction is still there. Therefore, people are suffering. We can see that. We have ever said, if you feel that you need this human contact, you need to come to the office at least a day in the week, which I think is fine because we have good safety and security protocols here. But I think you won't get this personal touch over a virtual meeting or let's say a Zoom call or so.
Okay, and I have a small company myself. There's four people working there, and one thing I'm really struggling right now is they don't take their vacation because there's nothing really to do on vacation. So they work too much, if you ask me. And like I'm trying to because working from home also in my case, in my small company, means they work Friday evening at 10:30 in the night, they see an Insta DM and they take care of it, sort of. So and I do believe it's super important to step away for a couple of hours or also for a week. So I had a talk a week ago where I said, like, okay, guys, what I want is every 2 months, you are a week totally off or something. Like, mm-hmm. that's why you have 6 weeks of vacation or whatever. You know, like, that's mm-hmm. the idea behind it. What I don't want is you, if it works, October, November, taking 2 months off or even maybe forced in December because we have all these vacation days mm-hmm. flying around. Is it the same at IWC? How do you handle that? Can you help me solving that problem because I really don't know what to do. I'm trying to tell the guys, take vacation. On the other side, I don't, like, if Germany is in lockdown, I don't want to be the person saying, like, I don't care, you're staying at home now. It's super sketchy, I think. Like, I don't know what to do.
And it's tricky. And I think there's no ideal solution to it. But I think what always counts is you need to be the role model. If you don't live it, if you don't take vacation, why should your people do? So my first advice would be the change you want to see. So if you're going on vacation, that is a very good signal. And that should also motivate people. And then secondly, I guess transparency and communication and just to speak about it should help. There is a radical version to it. Just switch off their devices, which I don't really recommend. But somehow, I think, to be very serious on the first two topics, I guess that should help a little bit, at least to raise awareness and also to explain why this is important also to take time off. And we have seen it here. Actually, we have introduced a couple of weeks ago the Zoom Free Friday, because what really strikes me is that all of these virtual meetings, really, you have, I don't know, 12 a day. It really creates a Zoom tiredness. And this is also what your guys will experience, right?
Yes.
And therefore, you need to switch them off somehow and try to do that Zoom Free Friday, because it's really liberating. It really makes it easier also to focus on stuff, on work on projects and so.
What's crazy is, in my case, what helps a lot is me being in the States. So time difference of 9 hours. So it's German business and I'm mm-hmm. only available in the afternoon for 3 to 4 hours, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it insanely effective because, like, they don't even have the chance to ask me and I don't have the chance to give them super like annoying questions that are repetitive or something. So in my communication, we just have a short time frame, which makes it effective. And I moved over here 5 years ago, and it is insane how much stuff is being taken mm-hmm. care of or solves itself if you just don't take care of it the first 8 hours of the day. And then I'm waking up and all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, it's solved. It's kind of solved by itself.
Brilliant.
Sort of, you know? So, I don't know how to attach that to businesses, but it's been insanely effective having that over here.
It's difficult that the owner has to move abroad to be like that. Maybe that's not really practical, but in the end, no, you're completely right. That you can also say, okay, there are specific windows in your day when you should read your emails. It's really the classical time management aspects of your job.
Yeah, and then you have to probably set rules that people mm-hmm. really follow, right? Because mm-hmm. like, the other talk I had with a guy that works in an ad agency here in LA, in California, they don't have any vacation days. It's whatever you want. Like, I think it started out of bookkeeping kind of situations where they said, well, mm-hmm. it's flat rate vacation. You can take vacation whenever you want to. You're also going to get mm-hmm. fired if you do that for 5 weeks, probably. but it's a different situation here, at least in California. I didn't know about that till 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that it really is totally different if you compare Europe to Germany, for example, to the States, mm-hmm. for example.
Totally. And I guess it is quite interesting. It ties back into the okay, outcome is important discussion, because it's not really the time which you spend in the office or at home or so working on stuff. It is what is the outcome. And if people are getting things done in 3 hours, that's great. They don't need to spend there an entire day. But let's say that the challenge is, and this is where managers normally don't trust, because they don't think that people treat their job or their time in a very good way. And coming back to the question of trust is, if you trust your people, then it should work. Then you can do this kind of, okay, take vacation whenever you think it is appropriate. And I guarantee you, 95% of your people will treat this in a very serious, in a very good manner. And 5% don't.
And that's, it's like that at IWC, I guess, right? Or why do
we
you
still
say
have rules and regulations, that? But okay. But in the end, we encourage managers to do so, and we have no clock in, clock out systems, which mandatorily says you need to be here at, I don't know, 8:30, and you can't leave before 5. In the end, it's the manager who should and who does manages projects and also oversees the time. And we can see the difference between a good leader and a not so good leader. By the way, in the pandemic, you have seen that very clearly, who's good and who's not good. But good leaders, good managers, they don't need to spend time in disciplining people because they are late, or in asking, please take your vacation days, because people are doing it. It's a self-learning team attitude.
I gotta learn a lot of. So I'm a very bad manager because, but I'm that's not my main job. So I'm okay with not being.
I offer coaching as well. So in that case,
I'm up for that. So would you like? Is that what culture is at the end? Like work culture, or is culture the right word for that? Like the culture at IWC? Because I feel like whoever I talk to. It's a great culture at IWC, like, because everybody, like the work surrounding, they like working there, right?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I guess that kind of speedboat mentality is very exciting. And the funny thing is, when I joined the watch industry, actually, and I'm coming from fashion, so fashion is fast paced. So 6 collections a year, bum, bum, bum. And I was expecting a very slow company. I could spend a lot of time at home having free time for myself. No, it's the contrary, actually. It's very speedy, a lot of decisions taken in a very short period of time, and people enjoying that. On the other side, we got awarded Great Place to Work, I think it was 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago, where actually our employees evaluate us as an employer. And the common theme across everything was pride. People are proud about the products, but also about how the culture here is. We are not so small, but we are not so big. We have still this kind of family attitude somehow. Very approachable management team. Chris is, I think, a great CEO. People can talk to him. It's different in other companies where I was, where the board is very accessible in regards of proximity, and you can just air your opinion and ensure that you are heard. That makes a great combination of pride, but also on a very speedy journey somehow.
And where, like, did you did not expect that, right?
No.
Because where did you work before? Not the company, just physically, like
fashion as well? In Germany.
In Germany. Okay. Mm. So more textile. Or because I worked in textile. Yeah, it's not everything is fashion. It must be such a big change if you switch from fashion to watches. Like, that's a total different mm-hmm. product, right?
Mm-hmm. It's much more emotional. We are much more selling a dream, and it's sustainable. Mechanical watches are the most sustainable, product you can have, I guess, because it's made for a long time. And the funny thing is, a couple of years ago, I was at a university lecture, and I talked about watches. And then afterwards, somebody came to me and said, "And how do you do with the sustainability and the approach to it and materials?" And I said, "What do you mean? Yeah, what do you do after 2 years?" And I was like. What do you mean? I don't understand your question. Yeah, but do you have to recycle the watch? And how do you do this? And I said, but you don't have to, because mechanical watch is really built for a long, long time. And therefore, it is a huge change between fashion and or textile and the watch industry. As I said, I would have expected a much slower pace, but it is really high paced here.
That's super interesting. I mean, also all the sustainable, like young people really care about that, right? So it's going to help you hiring people that you truly are a sustainable brand, right? Mm-hmm. Because like I feel like younger people don't want to work in non-sustainable companies anymore, because they, same thing as being proud, they don't want to be the opposite of proud, working for a company they don't support or the ethics they don't support, right? And I mean, the other thing that's coming, that's really changed, at least in my surrounding in the last 12 to 18 months, is inclusion. And yeah, like there's so much diversity topics that I really like, but I felt like not the bigger the company, the less they care about that. That has switched around. How do you handle things like that at IWC? How was that at 5 years ago? How is it now? How will it be in 5 years?
So you're completely right. Especially younger generations are very keen to learn about sustainable or the sustainability approach of a company, but also the D&I, so diversity, equity, and inclusion aspect. And this is the This is the test for every good company. Are you sustainable product-wise and so on and so on? But on the other side, what you just said is, how do you deal with diversity, equity, and inclusion? And we got a big wake-up call. So we were always focusing on, let's say, how can we support women? How do we deal with gender? But we have not really focused on the other dimensions. And with Black Lives Matter last year, this dreadful event, what happened in the US, actually, it really was a wake-up bell for us saying, listen, there is a lot of inequity, there is a lot of injustice going on, and we need to make, first of all, a statement, which was the only political statement, I guess, we have ever made in years. On the other side, what kind of programs do we need? What kind of awareness do we need to create inside the company that this topic is important to us? And that had changed a lot. We have quickly assembled a group of 10 people around the globe, very sophisticated, very intelligent, and very passionate people, which is our D&I council. They are guiding us through this journey, actually, and ensuring that we are on the right track when it comes to, as I said, gender will still be a topic to focus on. It is still the LGBTIQ plus topic. It's the ethical background. It's the disability background, and there are a lot of programs now starting for us, which is quite exciting, and we can see that there's a lot of passion, a lot of energy behind the entire team taking care about this.
That's super interesting. Can you? You said it very fast because it probably takes a big part in your work. But explain me the words right. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. So diversity is the first part of it, which means just to
yes,
that we know what we're talking about.
Diversity means that you need to have a diverse team. So you should not hire, and this is again a message to managers, you should not hire the same type of person somehow. We need to ensure that we have a lot of diverse talents in the team, which is very important. And diversity, and we have seen that over years, in regards of creativity, innovation. If your team is diverse, if you display diversity across the company, your level of innovation and your level of creativity is much higher. Equity is that you should have equal opportunities for people. So it doesn't matter if you're a woman, a man, if you're gay, straight, old, young, black, coming from Asia. So the opportunities should be the same. And inclusion is, how can we create an inclusive culture? So how do we bring all of this together? You can also say, if you say diversity and inclusion, diversity is to be invited to a party, I always say, and inclusion is to be asked to dance.
Okay.
Does it that make sense?
Yeah, that makes super sense. Very interesting. Yeah, totally. And I couldn't agree more. Like, I always worked in a very diverse surrounding, being photography, you know, because it's a creative mm-hmm. space where I believe there's no real rules like that. But I do also believe if you're a company of 8 to 10 or 12 people, it's easier, you know, and you mm-hmm. see a faster result. Like, I do agree 100%. The more diverse your team is, the more creative they are. Like, at mm-hmm. least the last 15 years, it's been like that. And yeah, in my company, there's like, we have a female quota of 80%. So, which wow. I like a lot. And I didn't do that 5 years ago, like, or mm-hmm. 8 years ago. Being a photographer, I hired photo assistant, and that's a very physical job. So, mm-hmm. got to be honest with you, there were moments where I said, like, well, part of it is carrying super heavy equipment, then I have to maybe hire another assistant or whatever. And I, mm-hmm. I didn't see the long-term quality of working with females at the end. Like, just mm-hmm. to point out one thing, I now mm-hmm. see it. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Like, and also the quality of, like, my head of operations is a mom. She works half days, and but it's insanely effective. She's like, I've mm-hmm. never had any as effective person working for me as her, because she's way more ahead of the time, and she knows what's up, and she's like, she really does those things like, here's a half an hour, let's be effective in that half an hour. So she's way more German than me, you know, like this whole effectiveness, and it works out. And I do believe it's super nice to have a very diverse surrounding, mm-hmm. like and a workplace. So that's good. What's been the? I always ask this. Like, I ask Chris, what's been at IWC the best thing you ever did? Like, what are you most proud of?
Ooh, that's a tricky question. There's so many things, actually. But looking at the recent past, is that we have safeguard all jobs globally in this pandemic. That really makes me proud, because it was not easy. We were in difficult waters, and to really have everybody on board, not have to lay off people, was, I think, the best thing ever what we have done here.
Okay, that's really super nice. And how did you switch towards, like, being a global company? Mm-hmm. How different is it in the different places? Like, how, because you truly know, where's Europe, where's Asia, where's the States mm-hmm. or America, what's out of your perspective, where are we heading, like, what's who's good, who has a little bit of work ahead, like, which surrounding is what's your take?
You mean in regards of business, or in regards of
human resources, in regards
on
of
HR
work?
Yeah, I'm like, responsible gonna, for HR. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
Yes.
no kidding. I think it's different, because there is no one size fits all solution, I guess. What is interesting is that you can see different kind of cultures requires a different kind of HR management style when it comes to Asia, but also when it comes to Europe and the US. I guess what is all in common for the next 5 to 10 years is that we need to accept that our work environment is changing and has changed and is still changing. I once said, that was 10 years ago, and unfortunately I was wrong, but still, I think I said 10 years ago, I don't believe that in 10 years, which would have been now, we don't have structures anymore. So we will work in this kind of network teams that, I don't know, you have a question you need to answer as a company, you assemble a group of people, and then you let them go again. So that was maybe a little bit too progressive. But I guess this kind of transversal teams, flexibility in your own skill set is important. And I guess, therefore, all of the countries have to learn. I think there's a big mind shift needed when it comes to, what is my job? Do I need to be more skilled, more equipped, polyvalent somehow in my task, what I can do? Because looking at the pandemic, if you are not agile enough and to broaden your skill set, then you might be doomed next time. So, as I said, HR wise, I guess the challenge ahead is equal in all of the countries. And there's no good or let's say this country is doing it better and this country is not doing it. It's different. This is diversity again.
Okay. One last question. What would you tell a 20, 22-year-old? What's the best things he should do the next 5 to 6 years? Like what's, because I do believe that 22 to 27, that part in the resume is important, right? Like if you look at CVs, like that's where you show if you're diverse, if the path is very, very straight or is like right and left and around, which I totally agree on. Like I'm also looking at that, and I like looking at CVs. I think I'm mm-hmm. quite good in hiring. So maybe if I'm like, maybe there's a job for me and you're, maybe I can apply at your department.
I'm recruiting at this time. So if you would like to apply, it's not too late. No kidding.
And it is, but it is where you see stuff. But how do you plan that? Like how, if you're 22 right now and you're not sure, because I see a lot of people not really knowing what to do, what steps to take, what would you recommend them?
So first of all, we have to say that the young generations, they don't have an easy task ahead of them because it is difficult in these kind of environments when you don't know what you would like to do and then you have to find out your right way. I always say be curious and really try to find out what really suits you, what where your passion lies. Because if you do something with passion, you really do it good. Don't do compromises. Don't do any jobs which you really don't want to do. It's a little bit maybe poetic, but especially these years between, I would say, 25 and 27 or 22 to 27 is something where you need to explore. You need to be curious and open and don't prejudge. Don't say, I don't like this. So I don't give it a try. We see it in we have a corporate trainee program here, and we force people to go through all of the departments. And I can tell you, there are two departments which are not really favorable. One is supply chain, and the second is finance. And the funny thing is, if we force people to try that out afterwards, they say, "Oh my God, this is a job I really like." So if you step out of your comfort zone, especially in this year, be curious and really also test and try stuff what you don't maybe envision, what you don't like. It will give you a better understanding what you should do in the future. And as I said, do things what you like because you will do things much better.
I could not agree more because like I studied business being a photographer. You know, like I tried to become a photographer. But I studied business in Hamburg, by the way. But I really liked taxes. Like all of a sudden, that was super interesting because it was close to law. Because I really like law as well, like the cases of people, the short stories. I liked that a lot, and I enjoyed it. And I do believe it helped my career a lot because like there's tons of very, very good photographers who are very bad at taxes. And I'm like a normal photographer who's maybe kind of okay in taxing or in writing offers or whatever, you know, estimates and stuff. I'm good at that. So and that's sometimes more important than the photo. But I would have not found that out if anybody would have asked me at the age of 22, what do you want to do? Yeah, taxes, super interesting. 16 or 19%, and is it 7%? And is it a...
Totally agree.
Yes. So, you got to try. And that's all... The number one thing is you got to try because, like, I sometimes believe younger people, and I'm 40, so we're talking about the young people. It's a little weird, but younger people are afraid of the fact that they don't know what to do. And I, for myself, I never knew what to do. Like, you know, I'm 40, I'm living the dream. I'm in California, I'm super successful. I have a wife, 3 kids. Everything is perfect, but nothing I really knew ahead. Like nothing was the big plan and the big passion. I wanted to fulfill my dream. It was just like it happened short term. I tried stuff. That's the only thing, trial and error.
Exactly.
That's the only thing you can do. And you can, you need to be not be afraid of mistakes, but just try different paths. And then all of a sudden your head of HR after you studied medicine and you did aerobics instruction. That's kind of that's the definition of.
Thank you for reminding me again.
Which is kind of nice. I have one last question. I lied about the other last question. So we have repetitive questions. And in this, like, I like the people I talk to. I'm very interested in the people. So, and I do believe sometimes people don't have enough time to for their private passions, for their private stuff. So I ask Chris, for example, Christian Knopi. So do you call him Knopi as well? I call him Knopi because I know him very, very long. But it's a little disrespectful because he's head of design at IWC Richemont. Exactly. So maybe it's Christian Knop over there.
It's Christian Knop. I have never called him Knopi, but maybe I need to try.
Sorry. Sorry, Christian. So he was like very much into, he straight up fired out, if I would have had more time, or if I have more time in the future, or what I do want to have more time for is sailing, because he has a passion for sailing and he has not enough time to go sailing, which I thought is interesting and followed me the last 2 months after having that talk. What would that be in your case? Like, if you have more time for a private thing, what would you do?
I would have said, because I'm planning, and this is maybe lame, but I'm planning to do a boat license since years. I'm planning that. And I always skip it year by year because I don't have time. So from a practical standpoint, I would say, finally get my boat license done, because I love water. I'm from the North Sea in Germany, and therefore that. On the other side, during that pandemic, I didn't spend really much time with my family because I couldn't see them. And seeing my two nieces now growing up and not being there is quite hard. So I would say do the boat license and spend more time with the family.
Which is possible. Where's the family in Northern Germany?
You can... Some of them are in Berlin and the others are near St. Peter-Ording. Lovely place.
For both?
If you like to... Yes.
For both, you need a boat license if you want to rent a boat.
Yes, exactly.
There,
so. It's not so bad, so I can combine.
And then you have the nieces are going to say yes to it because
they will love it.
Like that. So get the boat license and then go to Northern. St. Peter-Ording is a great, great, great place.
If you're windsurfing, best place ever, really.
Yeah, Maui, Hawaii is a little bit better, but then it's St. Peter-Ording.
Okay. Agree. Yes, agree. It's the second top place in the world.
René, thanks very much for that talk. It was super interesting. I learned a lot of stuff, to be honest. And I might apply for that. I'm being honest. I really like the human stories, and it feels like you have a lot of human interaction. You see a lot of people. You take care of the people. You hire people, and that's super interesting. So you do have a great job, if you ask me. And on paper or on the business card, it may not look as cool as it is in real life, you know? So it was, I enjoyed talking to you because like I woke up this morning and I told my wife like, yeah, I'm talking to the head of HR of IWC. And my wife was like, oh, yeah, you want another coffee? And now, 45 minutes later, I'm like, René is cool. The job is cool. The stories are super interesting. And once again, yeah, it's impressive what you guys at IWC do, to be honest. And that's not only because I'm the podcast host. It's whoever I talk to, I learn stuff. And that's like super inspiring to me. Thank you very much for those 45 minutes of talk.
Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure. And thanks for having me.
My dear listeners, thanks for your time. If you can't wait for the next episode, or maybe you want to know more about IWC, the unique watches, or the heritage of the brand, please check out the website of IWC or find IWC on social. Their handle is IWC Watches. Other than that, I'd love you to have you guys back for the next episode. If you don't want to miss it, subscribe to this podcast, then you're never going to miss out on any upcoming episodes. See you later. My name is Paul Ripke. Thanks for your time.